Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, that is, to all my Blog Talk listeners out there. This is Chocolate Lady 64, and I would like to say to all of you guys, Happy Thanksgiving! It's almost over. I know you guys are stuffed with turkey dressing, green beans, what else do we eat? Cranberry sauce, pies, cakes, collard greens, some of y'all who do it in the country way. I know you guys are stuffed with a little beer after the game. Saints won again. Yay. I'm sorry, I'm a Saints fan. I told you guys that before. Got kind of close there on the last part of the game, the fourth quarter, but we pulled it out, which is great. Thank you, Drew Brees, and the whole team. Okay. As you know, we're going to be discussing the second or the third segment of who do we listen to when it comes to our souls. And tonight we're going to talk about Joel Osteen. Okay? So, if you want to call in, my call-in number is 347-677-1749, 347-677-1749. Okay? Now, first of all, you know, most of the time I try to give you a history of each person that I'm talking about. And let me clarify something real quick here. And the reason why I'm doing this, I'm not doing this to bash these people. I'm not doing this because I'm jealous of them. I'm not an atheist, okay? I just want us to know and be informed. You have to remember, they will be coming in sheep clothing. Okay? Now, I know a lot of people don't agree with what I'm saying about some of these televangelists, but, you know, when I look at some of the stuff I see on TV and how we're so gullible. Why are we so gullible? We throw our souls and our spirits and everything on anybody who says something that, you know, revolutionizes us. You guys have to understand, it's not a simple thing to just think that love and do right, oh, yes, all this stuff is going to get you to heaven. You guys, it takes more than that. And if you know your Bible, you know that a lot of these people, the characters in the Bible, really went through some stuff to get to where they're at. They didn't just start loving and forgiving everybody and everything just went so beautiful in their life. You had martyrs, okay? You had people that were victimized because they believed in Jesus Christ. So we have to keep that in mind when we look at these people who make all this money, because they're not to say that maybe they are true for what they're saying, you know. A lot of stuff that they are saying is truthful. But you guys have to understand, when you are not putting God in it, then who's ahead of it? Who's the master of all of this? If you're not giving all the glory to God, how can you do a whole sermon and not mention Jesus Christ? And when you do your sermon, how can you mention only at the beginning of the sermon and you don't mention him through the whole sermon? You know, this, I just want you guys to understand that if you are like the people in the Bible, or like the people that is explained in the Bible and how they live their lives. Their lives wasn't, you know, floating on magic carpets and everything just fell at their feet and things just happened perfectly for them. These people live rough. So I'm trying to figure out where's all this, oh, everything is going to be beautiful and rainbows and sunshine. I'm trying to figure out where is all of this coming from. So I am not condemning them. I want to know for myself who I need to believe in. And I really believe I'm supposed to, and I know in my heart, that only God has the upper hand in everything that I do. I can't believe in men. I cannot walk up to somebody and hand them all my money and believe in him. You can't do that. You can't do that. And we do this so much, we don't even realize we do it. We really do. I have nothing against tithing. I have nothing against tithing. But when you're asking for more and more and more and more, and you're sitting in a $50 million, $100 million church, and I got to go back to my, and I said this in my last segment, a little shack on the corner, feeling good and great, and everything is so wonderful, and the wings on my back are flying over there. If I'm sorry, that does not compute in my mind when I'm trying to figure out where my next meal, even though it says in the Bible we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own word. Still and all, that's a natural thing for us to do is to worry. I just don't get the prosperity preaching that they do now. Everything is money, but I know we're not supposed to be all on the money thing. I know it because I'm not mistaken, the rich is not going to inherit the earth. So are they telling you if you become rich and prosperous and you do all of this, you're going to inherit the earth? Because it says in the Bible that you're not. So I don't know. I'll let you guys be the judge for yourselves. I'm just telling you from my point of view that, and this is just informational, I'm not trying to bash anybody. I just want to know, because if I'm a non-believer and I've never been taught about the Bible, and if I don't know about spirituality enough, you can lead me to the doggone trough to eat, drink water. But oh, if you look over there, God is there, because I don't know the word. So you just imagine how many people are being just slaughtered spiritually. Okay, it's just like a Jim Jones. Spiritually, they're being slaughtered by the words of certain these people, and it's up to us to change that. If you want to know, if you don't, you can turn, listen to another Blog Talk Radio show. It's fine with me. It doesn't matter. As long as I know, I said what I had to say. And it's only by experience and learning myself and knowing the knowledge, because he said, write my laws on your heart. You know. So I know. And like I said, whenever I open up my Bible, because I'm not going to sit here and preach and say I'm this perfect person, because I'll be lying. But when I open up my Bible, before I open it up, I ask God for wisdom and understanding, because you can't read the word if you don't have it, because the word is kind of complicated. And I'm not saying you don't need anybody to teach you, but you have to be wary of the teachers. What are they teaching? Who is in charge of your soul? What are they doing? And are you listening or are you learning? You know what I'm saying? I can listen all day, but am I learning anything from it? And if it's, I don't want to feel good all day long. I want to know that when I get out of a service or when I get out of a class or something, I actually can take something and I can explain it to somebody else because I actually learned something. You know, it's just amazing the industry these people. And they even knit it themselves when you listen to it. It's a market. It's a big, Christianity is a big business. Is that how God wanted us to be? A big business? So I want you guys to listen to some of the stuff that I'll be playing. I'm not, again, not bashing anybody. I'm just letting you guys know, okay? So here we go.
The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe that.
She's not doing that.
No, here's my thing is, I can't judge somebody's heart, you know. I don't know. Only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, you know, in Christ. And I think it's lying going on. my way. I'm not going to
believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart.
That's what some of us should. But I was wrong.
Well, I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but
I'm that atheist.
Well, I just, you know what? I'm gonna let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth, and I say it every week. You know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not gonna go around telling everybody else if they don't want to believe that. That's gonna be their choice. God's gotta look at your own heart. God's gotta look at your heart. And only God knows that.
You believe there's a place called heaven?
I believe it.
Okay. Did you see how he skirted around the answer? He skirted around the answer. And, again, we deal with that feel good. What I didn't do is, and I apologize for this, I didn't give you his history, which I should have done before I got started. It says he was born in Houston, married to Victoria L. Eoff, I guess that's how you say it, on April the 4th, 1987. They have two children, Jonathan and Alexandra. Joel's son of John and Dodie Osteen is one of the five children. His older siblings, Paul, Lisa, and Tamara, and his younger sister, April, are also involved in the full-time ministry. Joel's half-brother, Justin, does missionary work out of New York. Joel's father, a former Southern Baptist pastor who became a charismatic in the late 1950s, founded the Lakewood Church on Mother's Day, 1959. Osteen's father developed Lakewood into a body of approximately 6,000 members with an active television ministry, conferences, missionary support, and food distribution. After 17 years with his father producing the church's television program, Joel succeeded his father on April 3, 1999, as pastor of Lakewood Church. Joel had only preached once in his life. The week before his father's death today, Today, Lakewood Church services led by Pastor Joel Osteen are seen in over 100 nations around the world. Lord have mercy. Joel Osteen's first book, Your Best Life Now, Seven Steps to Living at Your Full Potential, was released in October 2004. In December 2006, he was named one of the year's 10 most fascinating people by Barbara Walters. Former presidential candidate John McCain has described Osteen as inspirational. Whoa. Currently, Osteen and several Lakewood Church team members traveled across the nation presenting programs in large stadiums. The event titled A Night of Hope includes worship music led by the church's music ministry, a testimony by Joel's mother, Dodie, and a sermon from Osteen. In 2007, the tour expanded to include stops in several other countries, including Canada, England, Northern Ireland, and Israel. Osteen released his second book titled Become a Better You, Seven Keys to Improving Your Life Every Day in October 2007, which also topped the New York bestsellers list with a first printing of 4 million copies. Whoa! Excuse me. Osteen told Larry King the new book will focus more on relationships and not getting stuck where we are in life. Just my basic message, becoming all God's created you to be. Okay. Now that's his history, according to this. Okay. It says Osteen's popularity led to him being featured as one of ABC News' 10 most fascinating people, which I already read that. His preaching style, which is what is so controversial. It says, Osteen says that he chooses to focus on the goodness of God rather than sin. In answer to questions raised over why he does not include many Bible verses in his books, he says that he sees himself as more of a life coach. Osteen explains that he tries to teach biblical principles in a simple way, emphasizing the power of love and a positive attitude. Whoa. Okay, this is talking about his criticism and controversy. Osteen has received much criticism from some of the evangelical communities. After 2005 appearance on Larry King Live, he was accused of not clearly affirming that Jesus Christ is the only way a person can reach heaven. He stated repeatedly that only God knows a person's heart, but that as a believer in Christian faith, he believes in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. In late 2006, Osteen again appeared on Larry King Live and clarified his prior statement, saying he does, in fact, believe a personal relationship with Christ is the only way to heaven. On October 14, 2007, on 60 Minutes, ran a 12-minute segment on Osteen's title, Joel Osteen Answers His Critics, during which the Reformed theological Michael Horton can be seen critiquing him. Horton tells CBS correspondent Brian Pitts that Osteen's method of teaching is Christian heresy. On December 23, 2007, edition of Fox News Sunday, host Chris Wallace brought up criticism of Osteen's lack of scripture reference in his sermons, as well as his hesitancy to discuss sin as an integral part of life. Osteen responded, and I am ultimately trying to do that, but I am trying to teach people how to live their life, their everyday lives, and so I do focus on it. I don't know. Probably not as much as some people would like. His sermons and writings are sometimes reproached for their use of concepts of prosperity theology or the prosperity gospel, a belief that wealth and power rewards the pious Christians. Now, okay, I just read that whole thing on him. So do you understand in everything I said, you're probably going to hear it in some of the interviews that I'm going to play for you that when he was interviewed on several different shows. Now, okay. Now, he believes in the prosperity theology, you know, oh, if you live a beautiful life and do the right things. And this man has a church, if I'm not mistaken, you'll hear them say he spent $100 million on this church. $100 million on this church. So, I say to you poor folk, okay, that's giving these people money, he has $100 million. What do you have? Can you open up your wallet and pull out a $100 bill, half of y'all? Probably not. Probably not. But he can, him and his wife, and you see he keeps it family-oriented so there's not too many outsiders in it. Because, you know, money, when you got money that's part of a family, you keep it from the inside. You hire all your family members as employees and stuff in order for you to keep the money that's going to be inside the family. So, you guys, I'm just trying to tell you, you guys just got to watch out. You got to watch out. Just a second here. Let's see. We've already talked about that one. Let's see.
Being the liberal heretics that's on television. And so now we've got Joel Osteen, the pastor of the biggest church in America. Do you know that? Joel Osteen pastors the largest church in America. I think it's somewhere 20-some-thousand people. I mean, it's just huge. I saw a picture of him on the internet. It was like a sports stadium. It was massive. There's all kinds of spotlights. There's a rock band on stage. All the spotlights. I mean, I'm not impressed because I've been to rock concerts for that. I've been to rock TV. I went to rock concerts for that. You know, a lot of people that they do it. But anyway, this is called church, and then that's some kind of a world record. But anyway, this is the pastor of the largest church in America, Joel Osteen. He's not the who's heard of Joel Osteen? You ever heard of him? Okay, this is the smiley guy. He smiles real big all the time. Yeah. Joel Osteen, I run into this out soul winning all the time. I'll be knocking on doors soul winning, and they'll say, I'll say, hey, you know, do you go to church anymore? And they say, no. They say, no, I don't go to church, but I watch Joel Osteen on TV. And I love him.
it. Anyway, Larry King Live. Larry King's asking him these questions. Oh, listen to the way he says. And maybe then you'll understand why the job's not getting done. He says here, this is Larry King speaking. But you're not fire and brimstone, right? You know, like, you're not one of these hellfire and damnation kind of preachers. You're not pounding the decks in hell and damnation. No, this is Osteen. No, that's not me. It's never been me. I've always been an encourager at heart. And when I took over my father, he came from the Southern Baptist background. Back 40, 50 years ago, there was a lot more of that. But you know, I just don't believe in that. I just don't believe that. I mean, maybe it was for that time, you know, but I don't have it in my heart to condemn people. I'm there to encourage them. I see myself more as a coach, as a motivator, to help them experience the life God has for us. So listen to what Larry King asked me. He says, well, do you believe in the Bible literally? He says, I do. So at this point, I mean, Larry King's getting frustrated with this guy because he's just finished asking like a bunch of questions. And he's just, the guy's saying that he doesn't believe in hell. He says he believes the Bible literally. He says, okay, well, how about issues that the church has feelings about, like abortion, same-sex marriages? Yeah, you know what, Larry? I don't go there. And King says, you have thoughts, though?
I have thoughts. I just don't think that same-sex marriage is the way that God intended it to be. I don't think abortion is the best. I think there are other, you know, better ways to live life, but I'm not going to condemn those people. So then King says, well, do you call them sinners?
I don't. King says, is that a word you don't use? Osteen says, I don't use it. I never thought about it, but I probably don't. Listen, the word sin, did you know the word sin occurs in the King James Bible 830 times? And he says that he does not use the word sin and sinners in his preaching. This is the biggest church in America. Listen to this. You think that that'll blow you away? Listen to this. King's talking about, this is a little later in the interview, he's talking to him about what does a person have to do to go to heaven, okay? Larry King says, what if you're Jewish or Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all? This is what Osteen says. You know, I'm very careful about saying who would and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. So he says, literally, he's saying, what about a Jew or a Muslim that does not accept Christ at all? Let me read it again. You know, I'm very careful about saying who would and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. And he says, well, if you believe, you have to believe in Christ. They're wrong, aren't they? So the King is saying, well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. He's like, maybe they're right. And he says, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe here's what the Bible teaches, and that's what I believe, but I just think only God can judge the person's heart. He goes on and on. Listen, this is a caller, okay? Hey, Larry, you know, long time listener, first time caller, you know, he calls up. Hello, Larry. You're the best, and thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father is by him, but that's not really a message of condemnation. I mean, that's just the truth. That's what the caller is saying. That's not condemnation. That's just the truth. First, he says, yes, I would agree with her. That's the caller. I believe that. So then Larry King, so he said, yep, I agree with her. Yep, she's right. And then Larry King says, so then a Jew is not going to heaven? Oh, she says, no. Here's my thing, Larry. I can't judge somebody's heart. So it's like he won't tell the caller that they're wrong when they're saying, Jesus, you must have Jesus. But then King asks, okay, so you're saying that you do have to have Jesus. No, I'm not saying that. Heart. But for someone who doesn't share,
okay, that was the same interview I played for you earlier when I first started off with the show, before I read you his biography. Well, and exactly happened like that, and if you listen to what the guy says, he said exactly what the lady said. She asked him that question. So, again, he doesn't sound like he's sure of what he's teaching, but he's just teaching it because it sounds so good. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm telling you guys, you have to be careful who you follow. You really and truly have to be careful who you follow. It is so important, you guys. Time, and I say this, time is winding down. Life is too short. If you are not sure whether or not you have a place in heaven, for those who believe that you have a place in heaven, And if you're sure, or you think you're sure, maybe you need to double check. Because if you're falling behind these people, and I'll say their names, Juanita Bynum, Joel Osteen, I'm going to say Benny Hinn, I'm going to say Ted Haggard, I'm going to say Preflo Dollar, I'm going to say T.D. Jakes. And I know I'm probably stepping on a lot of toes, but if you guys are falling behind these people, you need to really truly know what they're about. Now, I was just like, when I got all this information together, I was just so overwhelmed because I'm like, I cannot believe it. He's making everything simple. Everything is 1, 2, 3, like you're talking, and it's going to be mentioned about how he dummied down the word so that everybody can understand it, you know, so everybody can see that there's love and just do the right thing. But what is the right thing? If you're not going by what it says in the Bible, what is the right thing? You understand what I'm saying? What is the right thing? If you just do the right thing, you guys, come on. Come on. That's not how you do it. And I'm not saying hellfire, brimstone, God is going to come down and snatch you up and throw you around if you don't, you know, if you don't turn your face around and stop sinning. And I'm not saying that. I just know that there's a better way. And there's a right way of knowing the word, teaching the word, and allowing people to convey the word and get it in their hearts and their minds. I think it's so much, there is so much and better ways of telling people this. Okay, really, it truly is. And these people are going to be condemned worse than the regular sinner because they're putting themselves in a hierarchy over us and over the congregations to make the decisions and say the things they say. And it has nothing to do with the Bible. That's the scary part. That is what's really, really, really scary, is because these people are put, and we put them in a higher standard. We put them at a higher standard that they can't do anything wrong. And that, oh, don't talk about them. You're just jealous. You're just, no, no. That's not, that has nothing to do with jealousy. It has to do with sadness. That's what it has to do with, because we have so many people who think they got a spot and they don't. And they're going to be so angry. Their spirit is going to be so angry because they're not going to be there. Their body's not going to be there. Their spirit, because it's their soul that's going to heaven or hell. They're going to be so angry because they've been told and been led by these people to tell them that they do this and that and this and that, and you need all this money, and you're going to be so this and you're going to be so that. You guys don't believe it. I'm telling you, don't believe it. Do not believe that, you guys. Because if we're about this Bible, and we are truly about this Bible, and I'm not trying to start no Bible study here, okay? I don't want you guys to get that impression that I'm trying to do a Bible study on you and preach the word, because it's a lot about the word I need to learn, so I can't go out and teach nobody anything about the word to the point. I only can teach them what I've learned. I can't sit here and read verses and verses and break them down. I can't do that. But I do know, and, you know, we have a habit, and it goes for me too, that we pick certain things out of the Bible that we're going to learn and talk about. No, I'm just going by some of the verses that I found in here that pertains to what I'm talking about right now. Let me see here. Oh, this is a verse that talks about the rich man. Remember, they teach prosperity, okay? And this is, and I'm going to say what it is, this is Matthew 20:23. And it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, if he said this, and you're preaching prosperity, and you're preaching prosperity to your people, your congregation, but yet and still you want everybody to be rich and have money and have all this. But this tells you right there they're going to have a hard time getting into heaven. Straight up. It says it right there in the Word. So I'm wondering, you know, is this just, I mean, come on. This is not something I'm making up. I'm reading it from the Word. So, excuse me. So I'm wondering, you guys, I'm truly wondering, what is going on here? If you guys are, everybody can't be rich. There's no possible way that the whole nation, the whole world can be rich. There's no possible way. They can be rich in spirit. They can be rich in their souls. They can be rich in how they feel about stuff. But as far as money goes, no. Everybody can't live in a mansion down here on earth. It's not made that way. So you got 20 and 30,000 people following you, and you're telling them this on a daily basis through your sermons, which really are not sermons because you consider yourself a life coach, because that's what you said you were. A life coach and sermons are not the same. And when I said last week when I was talking about Juanita Bynum and I said public speaking, I meant just what I said. Read about public speaking. They have, you have to have a good attention-getting message, okay? In order for people to buy your books, your tapes, and meditate on what you're saying and all that, you have to be a good speaker. You have to be a silver tongue devil, okay? Slick, okay? Know just what to say and how to say it. And he's got the he has a gorgeous smile. He's a very handsome young man. He really is. Okay? He's gorgeous. So, oh my God, how beautiful this is. And oh, I love you. And I'm so glad you've changed my life. You'll hear all this. You'll hear all this. Because that's what. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm not making fun. I'm just thinking how gullible. Can you say gullible we are? A lot of this stuff, believe it or not, you can learn this yourself. You don't have to give a church no money to learn what they're teaching you. You don't have to sit in a church. You don't have to be with somebody who has bodyguards everywhere they go. You know, you don't have to do that to learn the Word. Because if you have the Word in you already, and if you're learning the Word, you get with somebody who can teach you the Word. Not tell you how beautiful the sunshine is and how wonderful your life can be if you just do this. And if you do that, no, you guys, wake up. Life is real. Life is hard. And you do have to find ways to deal with it. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm just being point blank. I'm sorry. You have to learn how to deal with life. And it's not rainbow. It's nowhere in this Bible that it says that life is going to be not rugged and rough. I mean, there's no way in here that it says that. That's why you have valleys. Okay? Because you're going to go through them. You can't go flow over your valley and just go on. And everything is going to be wonderful, and your financial situation is just going to disappear if you just do all the right things. No, you guys, that's not how it works. That is not how it works. And it's up to you guys to know that. That is not how it works, okay? I mean, I used to listen to him all the time. I'm telling you. Because when I was down, and I'd be, like, laying on the couch, and I'm just, like, going through. And I'm, like, I turn him on, just flipping the channels, and he's on there. And he does. He knows. He's what you call charismatic. He knows how to make you feel like, you know what, I can conquer anything. I'm not saying I'm not a victim of his his spell, because I am. And I have been. I'll say I'm not anymore, but I have been. Matter of fact, maybe it's been about 3.5 weeks ago, maybe about a month or so ago, I was a little down, and I was turning the channels, and he was on. And the stuff that he was saying, it sounds so good. And I got myself a little bit caught up in it. So I'm like, okay. So then I said, you know what, I'm going to start doing research on it. And what was amazing is, I don't know if anybody knows this guy, his name, this young man. His name is Reuben Armstrong. And he wrote two books. As a matter of fact, I have them. One of them is called Snakes in the Pulpit. Okay. His second book he wrote is called Homos and Crooks in the Pulpit. And it came to my mind, I started digging through my boxes to find out if I had the book. And I remember Joel Osteen was one of the people that was in the book. And I was like, oh, my God, this is Joel Osteen. And he talked about, and I mentioned the names earlier, he talked about Ted Haggard. He talks about T.D. Jakes. He talks about Creflo Dollar. He talks about Benny Hinn. And he also talks about, what was the other guy's name? It's another guy's name. T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar. Oh, Eddie Long. And we all know about Eddie Long, so I don't want to get on that soapbox. But he talks about these people, and he breaks down the stuff that he found out about these people, each one of them, from their church, I mean from church members that dealt with these people on a daily basis. So when he wrote the book, he was just trying to get us to wake up on stuff that is happening. And I was like, and he has a show, and the show is called The Reuben Armstrong Show, and he's out of Dallas, Texas. Next week, what I'm going to try to do is to contact him. And I'm going to see if he would like to come on the show and kind of talk or allow me to have a discussion with him, and we can talk about it during the show or after the show, or before the show, that is, I'm sorry, and talk about his books. I mean, they were good books. And just so happened, I moved my book because I wanted to read some parts out of it, the one Homos and Crooks in the Pulpit, but I moved it. I put it up somewhere. So I didn't have that to work with tonight. So let me continue doing what I'm doing, letting you guys know. Let's see here. Okay, let's see. Okay.
Preacher breaks through and catches the attention of the public on a national level. Joel Osteen has done that. He's the most popular preacher in the country. His service is seen by over 7 million viewers on TV every week. 8 years ago, Osteen was virtually unknown, even in his own church in Houston. A college dropout, he worked behind the scenes, producing his father, Pastor John Osteen's television ministry. When his father died, he stepped out in front of the camera and started to catch on. So why are so many people flocking to Joel Osteen?
Turn it around!
Service is an uninhibited celebration that's part rock concert, part spectacular. There are no crosses, no religious symbols whatsoever. It's all taped and broadcast around the world. His service is seen in 100 foreign countries and is the most watched religious broadcast in America.
You get 10 or 15,000 people that are excited about God. They're from every race and every denomination and every background. They want to be here. They weren't drugged to come to church. And so there's something about that. It creates an attitude of expectancy. And we cheer and we shout and there's joy. And I try to leave them better off than they were before.
They come by the thousands to non-denominational Lakewood Church, a former basketball arena in Houston, Texas, filling it to the rafters. They come hungry to hear firsthand Joel Osteen's message of empowerment and inspiration.
My message is a message of hope, that God is a good God, and that no matter what we've done, where we've been, God has a great plan for our lives. And when we walk in His ways, He'll take us places we've never dreamed of.
Can you give the Lord another shout of praise today?
Osteen.
This is his own version of what's known as the prosperity gospel. And God is a loving, forgiving God who will reward believers with health, wealth, and happiness. That is the centerpiece of every sermon.
I want you to get a bigger vision. There are exciting things in your future. Your future
literature is filled with marked moments of blessing, increase, promotion. God has already ordained before the foundation of the world the right people, the right opportunity. Time and chance are coming together for you. Why don't you get your hopes up? Why don't you start believing that no matter what you have or haven't done, that your best days are still out in front of you? It's an appealing, comforting message, and he follows it up with advice. If you're not making as much progress as you would like, here's the key. Don't lose any ground. Keep a good attitude and do the right thing, even when it's hard. When you do that, you are passing the test. And God promises your marked moments are on their way. You said, I like to see myself as a life coach, a motivator, to help them experience the life that God has for them. People don't like to be beat down and told you've done wrong. What do you mean?
Well, I think that most people already know what they're doing wrong. And for me to get in here and just beat them down and talk down to them, I just don't think that inspires anybody to rise higher. But I want to motivate. I want to motivate every person to leave here to be a better father, a better husband, to break addictions, to come up higher and walk with the Lord.
I mean, is that being a pastor or is that being Dr. Phil?
No, I think we use God's word. I think the principles that you hear Dr. Phil and some of those others talk about many times are right out of the Bible.
Do you ever fear with this message of optimism, you may be misleading some people, that some people think, well, gee, if I just think positive things, my life will turn around? And for some people, that never happens.
Yeah, I don't fear it because we don't just teach that, because I teach that even in the tough times, you have to embrace where you are, know that God's giving you the strength to overcome. You can even be positive in a negative situation, and it'll help you stay filled with hope.
2 years ago, his ministry got so big, the Osteens moved into this 16,000-seat sports arena.
So tell me how much money have you spent to...
It's about $100 million to renovate the house place, yeah.
Why doesn't this look more like a church?
Hopefully it'll look more and more like churches around the country.
Osteen and his wife of 20 years, Victoria, who co-pastors Lakewood with him, took us on a tour of what they call their worship facility.
The ceiling changes colors.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
It changes during the songs or however we program it.
Really?
Yeah.
This is like Hollywood stuff.
Now, you call this
Bible pulpit?
We just call it podium.
No?
Pulpit is an old school kind
of. Yeah. I would say podium.
This does have a concert feel to it.
It does. Does that distract from the message?
I don't think so. I think that's people being engaged.
Engaged and generous. Osteen can afford all this because of the money the church brings in. But it doesn't solicit contributions on television.
Why don't you ask for money during your television broadcast?
We didn't want anything to distract people when they were watching to try to turn off the message. Because we know how people are skeptical of TV ministers. Hey, there's a guy who just wants my money. That's what. I didn't want any of that.
But you do want their money.
Well, we need people to support us or we can't stay on. But we don't get on there and ask for it. And it's amazing how people can see that you, when you're genuine, they see the money.
Buckets of money. Over $43 million a year gets collected in the church. Another $30 million or so comes in the mail. It's a cash cow and a family business. Osteen's brother, sister, and mother are ministers in the church. But the real money for Osteen comes from his book sales, which are repackaged versions of his sermons. His latest book, Become a Better You, for which he reportedly got a $13 million advance, goes on sale tomorrow. They read more like self-help than religion. In his new book, Osteen lays out 7 principles he believes will improve our lives.
To become a better you, you must be positive towards yourself, develop better relationships, embrace the place where you are.
Yeah.
Not one mention of God in that, not one mention of Jesus Christ in that.
That's just my message. There is scripture in there that backs it all up. But I feel like, Brian, I'm called to help people. How do we walk out the Christian life? How do we live it? And these are principles that can help you. I mean, if there's a lot better people qualified to say, here's a book that's going to explain the scriptures to you, I don't think that's my gift.
Wherever he goes, people tell Osteen that he helps them.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you.
What you do? You changed my whole life.
Oh, I'm so glad it's
lot of people in this country, religious people, who consider your theology dangerous. I don't know what can be so dangerous about giving people hope, causing people to have better relationships. I'm not leading them to some false god or something like that. Hear what some others have said about you. He's diluting and dumbing down the Christian message. Sometimes you have to keep it simple and not make it so complicated that people don't understand it. But I know what I'm called to do is say, I want to help you learn how to forgive today. I want to help you to have the right thoughts today. Just simple things. You get people that want to criticize you're not doing enough of this, enough of that. We're not perfect. But to have, you know, hundreds of people telling you, you changed my life. I haven't been in church in 30 years. Or you saved my marriage. Not me, but God. But they're telling me that, you know what, you can't help but leave every Sunday afternoon. Help me understand what's happening right now, Joe. You know, what it is you just feel very, I told you I was a crybaby, but you just feel very rewarded. You feel very humbled. Humbled by your success, humbled that you could help him back from his life, I think. I don't even know these people. And, you know, if God used me to help turn their life around, give them hope, and, you know, it's very rewarding. You know all that? Very much.
Osteen keeps his life simple. His best friends are his family. He spends most of his free time with them, especially his two children, Alexandra and Jonathan. But from Wednesday to Saturday, he's in his home office writing and memorizing his sermon.
I feel a responsibility more than ever now. You know, sometimes when I think about it, Sunday in a few days, and I've got to get back up here and feed everybody and be my best and inspire them and have some good stories, keep them listening and things. You know, it takes a lot of work. It takes diligence.
Okay. I heard several different things in there that did not sound right, and I don't know if you guys are listening at the time and heard the same things I heard. Okay. Now, how do you consider yourself your life coach and a pastor? Now, because I know a little bit about life coaching, I can be a life coach, and I can tell you about God and not be a pastor. So are you straddling the fence there? Because I know about the Bible, and I can throw out a couple of verses, and I can tell you, quote, unquote, a lot of stories to keep your attention, because that's what public speakers do. So, what makes you, he could never straight answer, what makes him a pastor? Because he's not a pastor. I mean, he's not. I get mad, get upset, but he's not a pastor. He's a life coach. Because that's what life coaches do, okay, and public speakers do. They get you motivated. If you heard what he said, motivated, okay? They get beat down so much about the word. But you can't even explain to them. A lot of people, see, this is what I'm trying to get you guys to understand, and I said it earlier. If I don't know what I'm doing wrong, how can I know what the right thing is to do? And you know why I say that? Because if you don't have a connection with people, if you don't communicate with people all the time, you will learn a lot of things that people just don't know that they're doing wrong. So I say to him, and this is my question to him, how do I know I'm doing something wrong? When you can't tell me what I'm doing wrong. That doesn't go back to the hell, fire, brimstone, and you're going to go to hell if you don't stop doing this. That goes simply back to the Bible, because what the Bible tells you is wrong, it's wrong. I mean, it's wrong. According to the word, it's wrong. If you violate the Ten Commandments, you're doing something wrong. So if I don't know, never heard of the Ten Commandments, if I never heard of what a Bible is, how can I just do the right thing? So that's why he's very dangerous for unbelievers or people who are trying to get to that point. That's the reason why he is so dangerous, because I can be doing a boatload of stuff that's wrong. Do I know it's wrong? Do he know it's wrong? Yeah, I know it's wrong, but look, this is what we can do. No, I need to know what I'm doing wrong. He's a Jim Jones, y'all don't see it. He's just a list of the Jim Jones. Leading all these people to want to drink. If you drink and go to heaven and killing, that's what he's doing. He's killing spirits, millions of spirits. He's killing them. And they don't even see it. And he made his whole interview simple. So if he makes it that simple when he's interviewing, I mean, come on, you guys. You can't read between the lines. That's scary. That's scary when it comes to my soul. If I don't teach you what you're doing wrong, if I don't teach you what you're doing wrong, how do you know you're doing it wrong? That's simple. That's 1, 2, 3. If a kid, a baby, for example, walks up to the light plug and stick a piece of wire or something in it, or put his hand, perfect example. You tell a baby, don't touch the stove, it's hot. I've told you, it's hot. And you touch that stove, and the baby touches the stove, and he looks at you and starts crying. He didn't know it was hot. He had to test it first, but you had already told him it was hot. I told you ahead of time. But if I don't tell you and you touch it and you burn yourself, who's at fault? Because I'm standing there watching you. Because you know what? I didn't tell you that it was hot. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't know it's hot and you don't know you're sinning, you're going to continue doing what you're doing. Because no one has ever taught you that what you're doing is wrong. So that's why it makes him so deadly and dangerous for our spirit and our souls. In the direction we're going in when we die. That's why it's so scary. And he said it plain as day. I'm not one of them preachers. Yeah, I need to know what I'm doing wrong. I want you to tell me. I want someone else to give me an opinion of how mean and hateful I am. I need to know that. So that's the only way I know I can change. So he's not a pastor, you guys, because like I just said, I can talk about scriptures. I can sit and talk to a sinner about scriptures, but because he doesn't know what they mean, and if I don't sit down and actually explain it to him, well, do you know your body is a temple and you should take care of your body if you smoke and drink? According to the word, that's what it says. And I pick up my Bible and I show him in the Bible where it says that your body is your temple, as God is the temple, and that you need to take care of it. If I tell him that and I show him that in the Bible, he'll realize that, you know what, I need to stop smoking. I'm sorry. I mean, it's simple, because that's how simplified he put it. He simplified it for you. So think about that, okay? Think about that. That's why he is so deadly for us. That is the very reason why he is so deadly for us, you guys. Okay.
I want to talk to you today about living in total victory. A little over 2,000 years ago, they crucified Jesus on the cross. They put him in the grave, and they thought that was the end of it. But thank God, on the third day, he arose. He said, because I live, you shall live also. He wasn't talking about just breathing. He was talking about living an abundant life. Not a barely.
Okay, now, did you hear what he just said? No. Jesus died on the cross for us. For what? What is the word that he died on the cross for? Our what? sins. What was so hard about him saying that? But you see how he twisted the word? He twisted the word. He twisted the word, you guys. Listen.
Learn to get by life. Not a life filled with bad habits and addictions and lack and mediocrity. No, because of the price he paid, we have a right to live in total victory. I want you to get that down on the inside. Not partial victory, to where we have a good family, we have good health, but we constantly struggle in our finances. That's not total victory. If God did it for you in one area, he can do it for you in another area. Get a vision for it. Don't get stagnant. Maybe God's blessed you. You have a good family, a good job, but you've had pain in your body for years and years. You used to stand against it. You used to believe you could be free, but now it's been so long, you've just decided, this is my lot in life. Joel, I guess this is my cross to carry. He has paid the price so that we may be totally free. That means free from bad habits and addictions, free from fear and worry, free from discouragement and depression, free from poverty and lack, free from low self-esteem. You need to start seeing yourself the right way. You are not a sick person trying to get well. You are a well person fighting off sickness. God made you healthy and whole. The scripture says in Ephesians 1 verse 4, long before God laid down earth's foundation, he had us on his mind. Because of the sacrifice Christ made, we are a free people, and not just barely free, but abundantly free. One translation says, unquestionably free. I like that phrase, before God created the world, he was thinking about us. If you're going to be free, you need to know who you are. You're not just anybody, you're a child of the Most High God. He has breathed his very life into you. You have his royal blood flowing through your veins. It's the blood of a champion. You're not ordinary, you come from great stock. Your heavenly Father spoke the worlds into existence. Long before you ever got here, he was thinking about you. Let me assure you, he didn't create you to be average. He didn't create you to barely get by, to have all kinds of things holding you back. You've got to get the right vision. God created you to be totally free, to have peace in your mind, to walk in divine health, to have good relationships, to have plenty to pay your bills. God created us as victors and not victims.
Okay, did you hear that? You see how wonderful that sounded? That sounded so wonderful. That sounded so lovely and so devastating and, oh, man. Just one second here. I missed my caller. Caller, you just called in. Can you please call back? I apologize. I missed you. Can you please call back? Just amazing. You know, even just listening to him, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, man, listen to what he's saying. Do you see how his voice is? How his voice is so hypnotic? Oh, yes, I can do this. I can feel free. I can do that. Not one time did he say, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He said addictions and bad finances. And you guys, come on, okay? So your preaching or public speaking, because I don't want to even give you the word preaching behind it, your spewing and this, oh, bad habits, bad addictions, but how do we know they're bad addictions? How do we know they're bad addictions? How? How do we know? You didn't tell me that I have a bad addiction. That's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make with you guys. You're not telling me I have these problems. You just have bad addictions and bad relationship. And God didn't want you. He wants you on this big magic carpet and just go through life and just, whoa. I mean, I'm listening to him, I'm imagining myself laying down, lounged down on this big, beautiful red carpet, because I like the color red, and I'm just flowing through my problems and my bad times, and, oh, there you go, and hi, I'm up here. You, that, to me, maybe my imagination's a little bit out there, but this is what I'm imagining. This is exactly what I'm imagining, that I'm laying on this carpet, and oh, and I'm going through my bad times. I'm passing my bank and my mortgage company, and oh, I'm going to pay you, and I'm going to pay you. I'll be back. You know, I'm sorry, you guys. But it's just, that's how I just took it in my head. I know I took it to another level, but that's what it sounds like to me. That's what he's saying. Man. You know, I just don't believe it. Not one time did he say the word sin, and sin is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So he's not going by the Bible. So why are we giving him, credentially, pastor, the name pastor? He's not a pastor. He's a life coach. And he uses a little, but Christianity is a huge market. It's a huge market. If you put God in anything, people gonna give up money. And that's just it. That's it. So maybe all of us should become pastors, get us a big television show, and go for it. I mean, come on. That's the only way we're gonna become, what, he said altogether, about $70 million in, with the whole his whole program? $70 million with his church. $70 million is in within his family, and then his books that he writes. Huh? He's not a pastor, you guys. That's not a pastor. He's a life coach, and that's what he said. He said it himself. He's a life coach. There's a difference. But you guys have to be careful. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. Did you hear how he explained this big, huge stadium? $43 million of collections a year. Come on, you guys. And I was watching the video. They got buckets, not little baskets like we do in the southern churches, pass around a basket. They got buckets packed with money. They have stacks of buckets the ushers be passing down the line with. So you guys, you tell me. You call in, you tell me. Let me say my number again. 347-677-1749. 347-677-1749. You tell me, because I want to know. I need to be rich. What do I need to do to become rich like that? I want to be, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not one of them people that want all this money. I'm not. I'm not. And sometimes we just want to be comfortable. We say that, but do we know what comfortable means? You know what I'm saying? So I'd rather be poor little me and stay poor little me if it's going to save my soul, opposed to being rich and going to hell. I'm sorry. Leave me poor. You know what I'm saying? I just don't get it. We have to understand. We have to be careful. We have to, and again, I will say this. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it again next week when I do my next week's show. You guys, I am not bashing these people. I'm telling you guys, you have to be careful who you believe in. You have to be careful. It is detrimental to your soul who you listen to. It really and truly is. You definitely got to be careful who you listen to. Please, you guys, for your own sake, you need to be careful who you listen to. Because these people are control of your mind and your soul. And that's what you're giving to them each and every time you're listening and you're contributing. Because, like I said, you're driving a Pinto, they're driving Mercedes-Benz. They have private jets that get them back and forth to places. They live in these huge mansions. and you live in the little raggedy house on the corner. Come on, you guys. Wake up. Let reality hit you. Sorry, I meant to play that. I didn't mean to play that again. Sorry. That was something else that got mixed in my recording. I'm sorry. But I thought I had another segment that I was going to play, and it was Joel Osteen and it was T.D. Jakes. They were talking about a combination of both of them and how much money they make a year and how, I mean, these people, they're not making nickel and dime, and that proves to you, you can see that on their television, that they're not doing nickel and dime. These people are talking, and they're making big money. Okay, these are conglomerates. And Christianity, believe it or not, sells. It sells. I mean, let's break it on down. There is a big market for Christianity. And it's not that I'm hating on them. They just, how they say that, they know how to do that marketing. They know how to market. They got their heads up on the marketing. And that's basically what they are. They're marketing Christianity. It's big money. You think of gospel music. Gospel music, big money. Anytime you write anything inspirational, quote unquote, it's big money. If you stick it in the right spot where a lot of people can see it, it's big money. It just is. It's big money. And I mean, that's reality. So I'm just saying, since I'm supposed to be this pure person, flying on the red carpet, walking around my troubles, in my hard times and telling them I'll be back because right now I'm on a high and nobody can touch me. And because I'm flowing through the air, I mean, I just want you guys to understand that we have to be careful. Excuse me. We have to be very, very careful when it comes to our family, souls, because if you are a husband and you're the head of your household, and you're the one who's teaching them, because we have to understand what it means to be the head of the household, and you're teaching your family, make sure you're teaching them correctly. Make sure you're teaching them correctly when it comes to the Bible. How do you know it's correctly? Like I said, before you open the Word, pray for wisdom and understanding, and I promise you that Word, you'll be able to understand what you're reading. I promise you. It happens to me all the time. And I'm not just saying that, and I'm not trying to take your money. I'm just telling you what happens to me when I read the Bible. And if I'm not understanding, they have references. Okay? But first of all, I got to know why I'm reading my Bible. Why? Curiosity? Looking for an answer? What? Why am I reading my Bible? That's the key. That's what he's not telling you guys. And that's why he doesn't reference too much to the Bible, because there's only probably certain parts of the Bible that he really knows. You know? And I really believe, because his father was one of those pastors that was those, you know, Bible-thumping pastors, and I think he resented that, and I think that's the reason why he turned out the way he is. I mean, they say he was... 8 years ago, nobody knew him. But all of a sudden now, you know, he's top of the line. He has the largest church in America. So, you understand what I'm saying? So he had plenty of time to sit back and learn all of this and how to do it. And that's what I'm trying to figure out again. Why do we call him a pastor? He took the place of his dad. That's what he basically did. And he took it to another level because I'm quite sure his dad was hard on him. I'm telling you this. This is what I'm thinking from a personal level because I don't know deep inside. And I'm just talking. And I guess he resented that in a sense. So he took it in another way. And when he took it the other direction, $73 million, that's the direction he took it in. You know what I'm saying? $44 million of his books. Come on. He signed a $13 million in advance. You guys, so I'm trying to figure out. Just write books, but don't get up in front of millions and millions of people and lie to them. Because you're not a pastor. You're a doggone life coach that talks about God. That's what you are. You're a life coach talking about God. It just amazes me. You know? It just amazes me. And over again, I'm not playing these clips to pick and choose out the things that I want you guys to hear. I'm picking them out simply because you need to hear the other side of the story. This side of it, he's this great pastor, and he's not a pastor, and I'm going to give him his proper name. He is a life coach, okay? I'm letting you hear that side because we always hear the beautiful side of stuff and how wonderful. How can you talk about him? He's such a great pastor. He's not a pastor. He is a life coach, okay, like a lot of them are. A lot of them are eloquent public speakers, okay? A lot of them are eloquent public speakers, you know? So just, I can talk to them blue in my face, which I'm dark-skinned, so I can't be blue. You wouldn't see. I just want you guys to understand, okay, that you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. Beware of the wolves in sheep clothing. Beware of the wolves in sheep clothing. Okay, let's see. It was somewhere else I wanted to read a couple of more verses to you guys. If I can remember, something that I saw. Oh, this is still in the book of Matthew, and this is Matthew 24, because I read to you from Matthew 23. Matthew 24 says, I want to see this. Let me see. This is verse 4. Matthew 24, verse 4 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Whoa. Verse 6 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet near. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of the sorrows. Then shall they deliver you upon the afflicted." That's not what I wanted to read. I'm sorry, you guys. Verse 4 was one of the main verses I wanted to read to you guys. And then there was And then verse 10 says, "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets," that's verse 11, "and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now, these things have to be preached. Okay? So they're saying we need to know what sin is. We need to know what we're doing wrong. Okay? Because this is going to happen anyway. So be careful of false prophets, because they are out there, And let's see. I think I might have, see, like I said, I'm learning myself. I think what I really wanted to say from Matthew 24, I just wanted to read verse 4 and verse 11. And I'm going to repeat what verse 11 says. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. That's the verse I wanted to read. And verse 4, which was in Jesus answered and said unto them, he was talking to the disciples when they went to the temple. He said to them, take heed to that no man deceive you. So you need to know for yourself. And that's why I said, you need to know this word for yourself. Don't expect nobody else to teach you. You need to know this word for yourself. There was someone somewhere else. Okay, wait. Okay. Now, I'm going backwards to Matthew 23. And he's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's also talking to the disciples. This is when he's journeying with the disciples. He said right here, and this is verse 8 of 23, it says, But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, and even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon this earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither he be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So did you hear what that just said? And it says, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. So, what is he saying right there? These long, drawn-out, beautiful prayers and all, it's right here. This is the word. This is the word. This is not something I'm making up. I'm reading this. I mean, come on. Come on, you guys. Listen, it is the truth. You guys have to understand that this is what the Bible says. This is not something I'm making up. This is what the Bible says about people who are going to lead many and deceive many. And that's exactly what's going to happen. You see, there was one more spot that I found very quickly. Let's see here. I'm sorry, you guys. I was looking for another spot that I found in here, another verse that I found. Okay. And from the day that your father, he should run away. This is what they use in churches, you guys, and I know all you guys are familiar with this. I know you guys are. They go to Malachi 4 and 8, which says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offering. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you up a window of heaven and pour ye out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is that we have kept his ordinances, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Okay, I don't think I wanted to read all of that. That was too much. But this is the verse that they use in church. I've said it, I've read it, and you got pastors who memorize it. And that's Malachi 4, 8, all the way down to 10. Verse 10, 4, 8, and 10. and that's what they use to let us know that we're robbing God. And it works, because the guilt falls, and it works. So, what have we what have we learned? Okay. What have we learned tonight? We've learned that Joel Osteen is not a pastor. He's actually a life coach. We learned that he has one of the largest churches in the nation. Okay? We learned that it's a family business. It's not a family ministry. It's a family business at the tune of $70 million. That's not including his book tours and his book profits. Okay, we learned he keeps it in the family. We learned that he straddles the fence. That's basically what I'm going to break it down. He straddles the fence. And I will definitely say it again. He's a public speaker, an eloquent public speaker that's really a life coach. We find that he's afraid to say the word sin. He's afraid to talk about homosexuality. He's afraid to confront the truth. He doesn't want to say the word sin because it's a bad word. I don't know if I said that already. He wants you to automatically know, since you've never read your Bible, okay, you don't know what God expects of us, but just do the right thing. How confusing. How confusing. I allowed you, or I played some clips of him and his wife explaining their big church and how the lights change in the ceiling according to the music to make you want to give more. Oh, I don't talk about it on television. Yes, it takes them to support us. Huh? To support what? Your life coach? Program, conferences, or your ministry. And he's so good, he knows just how to talk. Smooth talker. Okay? Keep that in mind. He's a very smooth talker. So it takes you and your family, because you don't have anybody on the outside, but it takes you, it takes $70 million to do your life coaching programs or conferences. You got a 30,000 member church. Okay. I don't know. I'm just asking. And like they said, he has no religious symbols around, so why are you calling it church? That doesn't, the people are the church. That's all. It's not the building. And I guess he said back and said, if we can fill these roles, man, we can live like kings and queens. And that's exactly what they did. They filled the churches. Okay? So, I just want to say this. Just keep all that stuff in mind, you guys. Keep all that stuff in mind. What I just said to you, if you want to go back and listen to this again, I'm just playing what I have, the clips up. And like I said, he does a lot of beautiful, eloquent speaking. And I'm going to use that word because it sounds so good, eloquent. And it sounds so good when you're listening to it. But I'm just letting you guys know, he's like a Jim Jones. He's like a Jim Jones. Jim Jones to your soul. So, I mean, you just keep on drinking that Kool-Aid and see where it leads you. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Because like I said, I almost picked up the glass myself and drank out of it. I almost did it myself. So, I want to say, stay tuned for Cleflo Dollar next week, and that's going to end my segment. I could go on and on because there's a couple other ones that comes to mind that I can do it on, but I'm going to wait and bring this back again because I want to move on to other subjects. But I'm going to attempt to have Mr. Reuben Armstrong have some words or opinions on this subject with me, because I think he's much more knowledgeable in a lot of things than I am, and he'll be able to go over some more stuff. So I'm going to try to attempt to get a hold to him for my next week's show, the closing of my show. I know I wanted to tell you guys something. I want to close out. I want to thank you guys for listening in. You can catch me on Blog Talk Radio, Chocolate Lady 64. You can catch me on Facebook, Selena McCall. You can even email me at sensible64@yahoo.com. And also, my Samantha Place, I have that on my show page, but Samantha Place is closed down right now because I'm leading her in another direction, and I forgot to take her off of there. So don't go to that website. It's probably going to tell you it's closed because it is. I'm working on it now. So I'm hoping you guys have a great night. And I shall see you guys next week, or how do you say that? Not see me, but talk to you guys next week. I want to say thank you again, you guys. Have a great night. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and I shall talk to you guys next Thursday. And we'll be finishing off this segment, Cleflo Dollar. Who are you listening to when it comes to your soul? Thank you, guys. Good night.